From the dawn of time, humankind has sought answers to life's deepest questions. Who are we? Why are we here? Is there life beyond death? Throughout history, no story has addressed these profound questions more compellingly than the Bible. This ancient collection of sacred texts has been the cornerstone of faith, hope, and guidance for millions. Today, we delve into its timeless tales, weaving a narrative that spans creation, redemption, and eternal hope. Prepare to embark on an epic journey through the Bible, where each chapter reveals a facet of God's divine plan for humanity. Chapter 1. The beginning of all things. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1 verse 1. These opening words set the stage for the grand narrative of the Bible. God, in His infinite wisdom and power, spoke the universe into existence. Over 6 days, He fashioned light, sky, land, seas, plants, stars, animals, and finally, humanity. So God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them, Genesis 1 verse 27. Adam and Eve, the first humans, lived in the Garden of Eden, a paradise where they enjoyed direct fellowship with God. However, this perfect communion was shattered by a single act of disobedience. Tempted by the serpent, Eve ate the forbidden fruit, and Adam followed suit. Sin entered the world, and with it, death and suffering. Yet, even in their fallen state, God's love for humanity remained unwavering. He promised a Savior who would crush the serpent's head and restore what was lost, Genesis 3 verse 15. Chapter 2, The Call of Abraham. Fast forward to the patriarchal age, where God's plan of redemption began to unfold through a man named Abram, later known as Abraham. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing," Genesis 12 verses 1-2. Abraham's journey of faith took him to the land of Canaan, where God made a covenant with him. Despite his old age and his wife Sarah's barrenness, God promised them a son. True to his word, Isaac was born, and through him, the lineage that would lead to the Savior continued. Abraham's faith was tested when God commanded him to sacrifice Isaac. Yet, at the last moment, God provided a ram, sparing Isaac and affirming his faithfulness, Genesis 22 verses 1-14. Chapter 3, The Exodus and the Law. Generations later, the descendants of Abraham, now known as the Israelites, found themselves enslaved in Egypt. God raised up Moses to deliver them. Through a series of miraculous plagues, God demonstrated His power over the Egyptian gods and led His people to freedom. The climax of this deliverance was the parting of the Red Sea, allowing the Israelites to escape while the pursuing Egyptian army was drowned, Exodus 14 verses 21-28. At Mount Sinai, God gave Moses the law, including the Ten Commandments, which would guide the Israelites in their covenant relationship with Him. "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me," Exodus 20 verses 2-3. Despite their repeated failures and wanderings in the wilderness, God's presence remained with them, symbolized by the Ark of the Covenant and the Tabernacle. Chapter 4, The Promised Land and the Judges. After 40 years in the wilderness, Joshua led the Israelites into the Promised Land. Through faith and obedience, they conquered the land, with the fall of Jericho being a notable victory, Joshua 6. However, the period of the judges was marked by a cycle of sin, oppression, repentance, and deliverance. In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as they saw fit, Judges 21 verse 25. God raised up judges like Deborah, Gideon, and Samson to deliver Israel from their enemies. Despite their flaws, these leaders were instruments of God's mercy and justice. Yet, the people's persistent idolatry and moral decline highlighted the need for a righteous king to lead them. Chapter 5, The Rise and Fall of Israel's Kings. The Israelites demanded a king, and God granted their request, anointing Saul as the first king. Saul's reign ended in disobedience and tragedy, paving the way for David, a man after God's own heart, 1 Samuel 13 verse 14. David's reign brought military victories, and the establishment of Jerusalem as the capital. God made a covenant with David, promising that his lineage would produce an everlasting kingdom. 2 Samuel 7 verse 16. Solomon, David's son, succeeded him and built the magnificent temple in Jerusalem. However, Solomon's later years were marred by idolatry and political alliances that led Israel astray. After Solomon's death, the kingdom divided into Israel, the northern kingdom, and Judah, the southern kingdom. This period saw a succession of kings, many of whom led the people into further idolatry, resulting in God's judgment through foreign invasions and exile. Chapter 6, The Prophets and the Exile. During the dark times of the divided kingdom, God sent prophets to call his people back to him. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and others warned of impending judgment while offering hope for repentance and restoration. "For I know the plans I have for you," declares the Lord, "plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Jeremiah 29 verse 11. Despite these warnings, Israel was conquered by Assyria, and later Judah fell to Babylon. The temple was destroyed, and many were taken into exile. Yet, even in exile, God's promise of a future restoration remained. Prophets like Daniel and Ezekiel provided visions of hope, foretelling the coming of a new covenant and a Messiah who would restore God's people. Chapter 7, The Return and Rebuilding. After 70 years in Babylonian exile, a remnant of Israelites returned to Jerusalem, led by leaders like Zerubbabel, Ezra, and Nehemiah. They rebuilt the temple and restored the city's walls, despite opposition and challenges. "The joy of the Lord is your strength," Nehemiah 8 verse 10. This period of rebuilding was marked by a renewed commitment to God's law and worship. The prophetic voice continued through figures like Malachi, who called the people to faithfulness and prepared the way for the coming Messiah. The Old Testament ends with a sense of anticipation for the fulfillment of God's promises. Chapter 8, The Birth of the Messiah. Centuries of waiting culminated in the birth of Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah. "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." John 1 verse 14. Born of a virgin in Bethlehem, Jesus' birth was heralded by angels and witnessed by shepherds and wise men. Luke 2 verses 1 to 20. Matthew 2 verses 1 to 12. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature, beginning his ministry around the age of 30. He preached the kingdom of God, healed the sick, cast out demons, and performed miracles. His teachings, such as the Sermon on the Mount, revealed the heart of God's law and the nature of true righteousness. Matthew 5-7. Chapter 9, The Ministry and Miracles of Jesus. Jesus' ministry was marked by compassion and power. He fed thousands with a few loaves and fish, walked on water, calmed storms, and raised the dead. His miracles were signs of his divine authority and his mission to bring life and wholeness. One of his most profound miracles was the raising of Lazarus, demonstrating his power over death. John 11 verses 1 to 44. Jesus also challenged the religious leaders of his day, exposing their hypocrisy and calling for genuine repentance. He proclaimed, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." John 14 verse 6. His claims to divinity and his authority to forgive sins made him a target for those who felt threatened by his message. Chapter 10, The Passion and Resurrection. The culmination of Jesus' mission was his sacrificial death on the cross. Betrayed by Judas, Jesus was arrested, tried, and sentenced to crucifixion. He endured the agony of the cross, bearing the weight of humanity's sin. "It is finished," he declared, completing the work of redemption. John 19 verse 30. 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead, conquering sin and death. His resurrection was witnessed by his disciples and many others, affirming his victory and the promise of eternal life for all who believe in him. Matthew 28 verses 1 to 10. 1 Corinthians 15 verses 3 to 8. Chapter 11, The Birth of the Church. Before ascending to heaven, Jesus commissioned his disciples to spread the gospel to all nations. "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Matthew 28 verses 19 to 20. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit descended upon the disciples, empowering them to preach the gospel boldly. Thousands were converted, and the early church was born, Acts 2. This new community of believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer, Acts 2 verse 42. Chapter 12, the spread of the gospel. The book of Acts chronicles the spread of the gospel from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. Through the ministry of the apostles, particularly Paul, the message of Jesus reached Jews and Gentiles alike. Paul's missionary journeys established churches throughout the Roman Empire, and his letters provided theological insights and practical guidance for believers. Despite persecution and opposition, the early church grew and thrived. The apostles' unwavering faith and the power of the Holy Spirit enabled them to endure trials and continue their mission. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 7. Chapter 13, the letters to the churches. The New Testament epistles, written by Paul, Peter, James, John, and others, addressed various challenges and encouraged believers to remain faithful. These letters emphasize the importance of sound doctrine, moral living, and unity in the body of Christ. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, Ephesians 2 verse 8. The letters also provided insights into the nature of the church, the role of spiritual gifts, and the hope of Christ's return. They exhorted believers to persevere in faith, love one another, and live in a manner worthy of their calling. Chapter 14, the revelation of Jesus Christ. The final book of the Bible, Revelation, unveils the ultimate triumph of God's kingdom. Written by the Apostle John during his exile on the island of Patmos, Revelation is a prophetic vision of the end times. It depicts the final battle between good and evil, the return of Christ, and the establishment of a new heaven and a new earth. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband, Revelation 21 verses 1-2. This vision of the new creation underscores the hope of eternal life and the fulfillment of God's redemptive plan. Chapter 15, the hope of resurrection. One of the central themes of the Bible is the hope of resurrection. Jesus' resurrection is the cornerstone of Christian faith, providing the assurance that believers, too, will be raised to eternal life. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed, 1 Corinthians 15 verse 52. This hope extends to all who die in Christ, whether buried or cremated. The Bible does not prescribe a specific method for the disposition of the dead. Instead, it emphasizes the power of God to raise the dead and transform our mortal bodies into glorious, imperishable ones, Philippians 3 verse 21. Cremation, like burial, is a temporal act that does not hinder God's promise of resurrection. The eternal story. The Bible is more than a collection of ancient texts. It is the unfolding story of God's love and redemption. From creation to the new creation, it reveals His plan to restore a broken world and bring His people into eternal fellowship with Him. This story invites each of us to find our place in God's grand narrative, to live by faith, and to embrace the hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ. As we reflect on this timeless story, let us remember the words of the Apostle John. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name, John 20 verse 31. May this story inspire us to seek, know, and follow the author of life, who offers us a future filled with hope and glory. The story of the Bible continues to resonate with people around the world, providing answers to life's deepest questions and offering a path to eternal life. Whether through moments of triumph or times of trial, the message of the Bible remains a beacon of hope, guiding us toward the ultimate fulfillment of God's promises. Mark 11 verse 24 says, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." Join me as we go to the Lord in prayer. Open your heart and believe so that the blessings of this prayer will come to you. Say this prayer with faith. Dear Heavenly Father, We humbly come before you today. You are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You, the Lord, you created the earth and the heavens and all that is in them. I give you all the praise and glory. Thank you, God, for everything you have done in my life. I'm grateful for the good things and even the tough times. You've been with me through it all, and for that, I say thank you from the bottom of my heart. God of mercy and compassion, please look with pity on me. I know I have sinned against you. I ask for your forgiveness. Father, Lord, have mercy on my mistakes and failures. Every mistake I have done in word, action, and deeds, Father, forgive me. For your word clearly says in 1 John 1 verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for forgiving me. Now in the name of Jesus, I declare the power of God against any work of the enemy. Every secret agenda the devil and his cohorts have plotted against me be destroyed in Jesus' mighty name. Father, your word said Christ was manifested that the works of the enemy might be destroyed. Every work of the enemy against my marriage, my job, my business, my career, my family and children be destroyed in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name, I declare fruitfulness in every area of my life. Let the power of Christ touch my life so I bear fruit. I am fruitful in my life, in my ministry, in my marriage, in my business, in my career, in my job, and in my finances, for the Lord gives us power to make wealth. Let prosperity be my portion in Jesus' name. I will not lack but have in abundance. Lord, I want to serve you with all my heart. Anything that hinders my service, Father, deliver me. God, save me from myself. Save me from people who will not lead me to you. Save me from desires which are not godly, things which are not in line with your word. Father, help me obey your word. Sometimes the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Lord, make me strong. Make me fervent in you. Restore unto me, Lord, the joy of my salvation. Father, restore all the things I have lost, either by my ignorance or carelessness. You said in your word that the years the locust has eaten in our lives, you will restore us. Thank you, Lord, for restoring me, my family, my marriage, my career, and my ministry. Father, you sent forth your word to heal our diseases and sicknesses. I declare your healing from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. Father, heal my family, friends, and loved ones. Let your healing be their portion too. I boldly declare that I am a child of God. I walk in victory through faith. I am the head and never the tail. I am what God says I am in Jesus' mighty name. I boldly declare Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He letteth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He letteth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you, my Father God, for hearing my prayer and answering my prayer. Amen. As this message has blessed you, type the word Amen in the comment section and share with us your testimony too in the comment section. In the name of Jesus Christ, all these blessings have come upon you now. Beloved, help us spread the gospel of Christ and reach more people all over the world by liking this video and sharing this message with your family, friends, and loved ones. We really appreciate your great support. We plead with you to subscribe so you can receive more videos that will revive your spirit and uplift your life. Christ came that all people will be saved. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, this is the right time to do so. Say this after me. Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and because of me, you came to die on the cross of Calvary. Father, forgive me of all my sins. Today, I boldly declare that you are my Lord and personal Savior. Come into my heart and lead me. As you have said this prayer, congratulations, you have been born again. Please look for a pastor in a Bible-believing church and tell him you have given your life to Christ. You will need to fellowship with other believers to learn about your new life. Prayer is a very powerful tool God has given us. With prayer, our problems receive solution and we get comforted by God. Please leave your prayer request in the comments section. We are constantly interceding on your behalf before God. Trust me, friends, our God will answer your every prayer request. Sometimes we may not reply to your prayer request in the comments section, but that does not mean we are not praying for you. We have you at heart and your requests. May the grace of our Jesus Christ and the love of God be with you now and forevermore. Amen.